out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 3-2-1. This is the crammed edition. There is so much content, I literally had to use a shoehorn to get it into today's show. If you read the little show notes that we have up over at caffeination.com, that is caffeination.com, then you can see the whole story. But basically, one of my favorite expressions, and I have absolutely no clue where it came from, is trying to fit a 5-pound cat in a 3-pound box, and that's basically what we're trying to do here. It's a very visual reference. I could try and actually take pictures of my very own cats, because they are quite, well, at least one of them's quite large, and my son has very small shoe boxes, but I think you get the idea. We're actually bringing back one of the old sections that we had here called quick hits, where we kind of run down things really, really quick, just to put them out there, just so that you are in the know, just so that you kind of are a little bit informed, update you on certain things, and then we move on our way. We're not going to spend time dwelling on them. I would love to give every single piece of information its absolute shrift that it deserves. I don't know if you can actually give someone shrift other than short, but we intended to give everybody their correct amount of shrift here on today's show. This is the high octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. You are going to be getting a huge dose of each and every single bit of that sentence. On today's show, you're going to be hearing about any and all the following products and or stuff: Java, coffee, Legos, steampunk, fuel cells, Pac-Man, sheep, beer, soda, and, or not even soda, but we might throw some soda in there, soap and copycats. So it's going to be kind of a mixed up little edition here at the Caffeination Podcast, but we have a great lineup of stuff. I did, however, want to mention that the Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find all the other member shows located over at www.techpodcasts.com. It's a great organization to belong to. We're going to have a new podcast by two people who are in the Tech Podcast Network. Just going to play a little bit of a promo for you very shortly. But before we do that, we did want to just give you a little bit of information about the sponsor for today's show. During these tough economic times, businesses of all sizes need to increase productivity and cut costs wherever they can. And online meetings are a great place to start. With GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, lets you meet with anyone located anywhere right from the comfort of your very own computer. You can do more and travel less. With GoToMeeting's all-you-can-meet service, you can hold as many online meetings as you want without paying any of those pesky permanent charges. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. With this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's www.gotomeeting.com/tech podcasts to get your free trial today. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They really allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool stuff, and hopefully we can keep bringing you the same kind of fun and awesome level of stuff that we attempt to do here every time. There's, like I said, we have a ton of great stuff to get info on for you. I did want to, I think we're going to just play a little bit of a promo here so we can let you understand what's out there now, so you can actually see some all kinds of really crazy cool stuff. But this is actually a promo for a new podcast called The Tech Vets. But I'm going to let the guys who are running it kind of let you in on the secrets.
There is a problem with the printer.
Now there's a podcast that offers practical solutions to your everyday computing problems. Kerry Holzman of the Computer America Show and Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show are veterans of computers and technology with more than 40 years of combined experience. They joined forces to create an exciting, new, no-nonsense weekly podcast to provide real-world solutions and answers to all of their listeners' questions without any of the fluff. Check it out at tech-vets.com.
And that is pretty much the end-all and be-all of that. It's kind of hard to say it any better and more succinctly than they do on that little promo. Mike Smith is a fantastic guy, runs the Mike Tech Show, as well as the head honcho in charge of the Philly Geeks podcast. So he's adding yet another podcast to his repertoire. And Kerry Holzman from Computer America, also a fine fellow. I just happen to have never met Kerry in person. So you can head on over to tech-vets.com and check out what they're doing. I got to tell you, Mike is an absolute wealth of knowledge, so I know that's going to be a fantastic podcast. It's really going to be cool. So I wanted to kind of just say that. I also wanted to say a very happy wedding day to Jimmy and Kathy. I don't know if Jimmy's actually going to get to listen to this. He better not be listening to this. He better either be getting married by the time this one comes out, or paying attention to more important things. But Jimmy and Kathy, my two very good friends. Jimmy is one of my absolute best friends on the planet. He was the best man at my wedding. He's getting married to a lovely lady named Kathy, and they are doing so this Friday. So all of the best luck to those two those two crazy kids. They're heading off for a lovely honeymoon after the fact. So I hope he doesn't hear this episode for a good long time after that. Just wanted to get that out there up front and personal, you know. And then last but most certainly not least, if you're looking for any of the other crazy cool stuff that we do here on the podcast, you can always look over at the back channel, which is caffeination.tumblr.com. That's TUMBBLR.com. I'm probably going to fiddle around with the link in a little bit, but we have been shoving a metric ton of content down that channel as well, because literally I cannot fit all of the awesome into one show. There's just no way to do it, and more often than not, the really awesome and funny and sometimes even not safe for work videos end up over there, because I just don't feel like playing videos on the audio podcast. I mean, I might end up doing other things, but hey, we're just gonna cut and move on. All right, we're gonna head on into the quick hit section here. This is literally, you know, as you like it, right down the line, 1, 2, 3, on it we go. First thing up here, you might want to update your Java install. There's a bunch of massive security holes that are out there, and Java, or Sun rather, just released a big security update to it. So you might want to check the software that you use, see which actually runs Java, and make sure that they're all up to date. You can either head on over to sun.com or just do a search for Java. It's pretty much understood that Java does not actually mean coffee, even in this fine podcast that we're running here, but actually does mean an interesting little language that lays on top of your computer. All right, next up here, your network is now policing you. RIAA has enlisted the help of AT&T, among many other networks, but they're not really out and about yet, to actually help kind of push the peer-to-peer content filtering thing on. It's not necessarily that they're filtering per se at this point, but what they're doing is they're actually the ones serving the cease and desist letters now, which is really good. The whole net neutrality thing apparently is out the window, so you might want to just... If you are doing things that are illegal, you are eventually going to get caught, and it looks like the net is tightening around you. I am somebody who is very much for net neutrality, but we don't have time to spend on that huge and somewhat dry topic now. Might want to have to find a more fun way to check on that. All right, next up here we have your smartphone is safe for now. I don't know if you know this. We've talked about this before on a couple different podcasts, but the Pwn2Own, or the Own2Own, hacking competition recently took place in regards to... smartphones. It's been taking place in regards to laptops and a couple other things. Basically, if you're the first hacker to get in there, and you have to be invited to the event, but if you're the first hacker to get in there, you get to keep the piece of hardware that you just hacked, as well as $10,000. So there's a pretty hefty prize on the line. The only thing is you have to sign a couple non-disclosure forms so that you're not going to go back out into the internet and say, hey, guess what? All you have to do is type 07 times to get into the Apple iPhone. As it turns out, none of the leading four manufacturers of smartphones actually are vulnerable. So the iPhone passed, the Google G1 Android phone passed, the Windows phone passed, and the BlackBerry all passed. So everybody's happy, everybody's safe for now. A little bit of an update. Now, all of these stories that I'm talking about here are actually listed over at caffeination.com, so you can head out and read the full thing here. And this is specifically relating to this. We have an update on the RoboFish article that I talked about on the last show. It seems that the article that I originally linked to didn't really have a lot of really good information. The RoboFish is actually going to cost roughly $29,000 per fish. It's a robot fish that autonomously swims and actually makes decisions on where it can go. The fun thing about it is it's actually going to be used to hunt down not just, oil spills and follow oil slicks like the original article said, but they're actually going to use it to try and find illegal dumping in the ocean. They're going to be deploying 5 such fish in one of the bays over in Spain, so we're going to actually get a little bit of return on investment now. It's going to be fun to see where that actually goes. All right, moving right along, tunable glasses, third world eye care made easy. I got to tell you, this is unbelievable. This is a really crazy little piece of information. I didn't even know that this could happen. But there's an inventor who's designed a form of lens that all you need to do is add or remove fluid to the actual silicone-filled lenses. Now, these are specifically designed for third-world countries, places where you can't just go over and visit your optometrist. There is no, America's best eye care. There's no irritating commercials, which is probably a better thing. But then again, there's no clean drinking water either, so that's bad. But the idea behind these glasses is that you can add and remove silicone fluid through a syringe or some other device to the actual actual frame of the glass, and by adding the fluid, it actually changes the geometry of the sack that the fluid sits in. And it, you can actually do it to, you know, it's not like, okay, can you read this, can you not? It's, you can sit there and fiddle with it yourself, or have somebody else help you fiddle with it until you can actually see. So you might actually end up getting a little bit better results. It might be interesting to see. This was brought about, at least this article was linked, because there's something in the way of that being done for prosthetic limbs. Now, everybody who's ever seen any of the scene like Dancing with the Stars or something like that, where you see, you know, like Heather Mills or any of the other people who are out there who have prosthesis, we've done a lot of stories about robotic prosthesis and things like that. These things are all expensive, they're all heavy, they're all very, 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 very expensive. I mean, if I haven't emphasized expensive enough, I think I should again. But here's where this comes in. This gentleman has decided to kind of take over that and go one better but the other direction. He's trying to design a prosthetic limb for third world countries, because there's a lot of victims of landmines and a lot of victims of explosions and just plain, you know, life is hard kind of cases where, you know, amputations have happened and people need prosthesis. This is not like, you know, okay, I needed to fit in. No, this is I needed to be able to walk to the water well. I mean, this is a very real thing, and it's really kind of cool to see where this is going. So, and then the last little thing that we have for you here in Quick Hits, which is actually taking slightly longer than I wanted to, but I'm trying to rush through. I promise we'll get quicker in the future. Is just for fun, my old archaeology professor has actually made the local news here in Philadelphia. So if you head on over to the Philly.com section, there's actually a cache of Indian artifacts, a cache of Native American Lenape artifacts was found in the Delaware Valley in the 30s, 40s, and 50s by a gentleman who was just walking through the fields with a walking stick. What he did was he kept meticulous diaries about where he found absolutely everything and pinned them up inside his home. When he died, he donated the collection to a local middle school. The local middle school then contacted years later my old archaeology professor, one R. Michael Stewart, who is a fantastic, unbelievable, and awesome dude, all in one, you know, breath, and they're actually using it to teach at Temple University, which is really cool, and they're also using it to teach people from the archaeology club in Perkiomen School District, which is even cooler. So it's this gentleman's hobby for, you know, 30 some odd years is actually turning into a teaching aid, and it's worth who knows how much at this point. You really need to head on over there and check and read out the full story, but it's kind of cool. Alright, that about wraps up the quick hit section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We're going to spend just a little bit, a hair more time on some of the articles coming up. First article's come up by a fellow by the name of Paul Muller. That would be me. We're talking about another blog design guide. This is a designing for the visually impaired. Now, I don't know if any of you out there know somebody who's blind or know somebody who needs a little bit of help reading, or, you know, somebody who needs a screen reader software or something like that, but there's certain things that you can do to make your blog a little bit more visible, a little bit more helpful to those people who are visually impaired. And I just run down a quick series of things, and I highly suggest you head on over there and check it out. But one of the first things that you can do is all screen readers start from the top left. So if you have all of your blog roll on the far left-hand side of the blog, it's going to read all the blog roll first, and they're not going to get to the content soon. The second thing that you can actually do is, now, one of the other things that you can actually do is not have fixed width font, so that you can actually, you can test this out just by going to your site, holding down the Alt key or the Open Apple key and hitting the plus symbol. If the font gets bigger, then you know what? You don't have a fixed width font and you're perfectly alright. There's other kind of small changes that you can actually do. One of them, everybody who has a MySpace profile or anything like that out there needs to know this one. Do not have any audio automatically play as soon as your website loads. Why is this? Because as soon as your website loads, the screen reader fires up and starts telling the person who's blind what is on the screen. If it's playing at the same time as Dude Looks Like a Lady, they're not going to hear anything and they're going to migrate on. The next little thing that they have up there, or next little thing I have up there, is for every single image you put on your page, try and find a way to weave it into the overall narrative. And the second thing is that you must use the alt text to be as quickly descriptive as possible. And then the third little thing that I have in here, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff up there, but click here is the worst thing you can do, not just from a design perspective, not just from an SEO perspective, all of the Google links in the world. For instance, if you were to link to a wonderful website called caffeination.com with click here, I wouldn't really get any click, I wouldn't really get any cachet built up over at Google, because if you were to link to a coffee podcast, if you were to use the words coffee podcast and link to caffeination.com, then coffee and podcast would be associated with my website. If you link using click and here are associated. And frankly, everything is associated with click here, because that's what you're supposed to do when you go someplace. So make the links descriptive, and it'll help people who are visually impaired. It'll also help a little SEO along the side. So just wanted to kind of push those out there. Hopefully you can head on over there and check that out. So read the rest of them and, you know, give me your feedback. I'm probably going to be starting a new thing up with the blog design guide. I'm not really sure exactly how we're going to do it. We might end up putting an ebook out there with all the stuff out there if people find it interesting. I might also actually be doing a different series of podcasts based directly on it. So I just wanted to kind of pass it along, see what everybody else thought. All right, how awesome is your paper airplane? I know that I've often dreamt of flying. I had a teacher in high school who was actually a registered pilot, and it's one of those things where you just, every once in a while, you just have to kind of stop and look at somebody who's really not only found a love of flying, but really found a way to geek out on doing it. So you really have to head on over to this webpage, Mark Langford's webpage, where he basically gutted an airplane and rebuilt it with a Corvair engine. I mean, this is soup to nuts how he did it over the past, like, 5 or 6 years. Currently, he has over 700 hours in the air logged in this thing. So I don't know about, I don't know how comfortable you are with your own level of mechanical expertise, but I don't think I'd be going aloft in anything that I built. Just putting it out there. All right, kind of from going of the apex of technology, airplanes kind of have a fun little vibe for me and my family, because my great-great-grandfather actually built and flew the first airplane in Philadelphia. So we have a little picture up on the wall in the caffeination layer, and there's so many other things that I have around, but it's just kind of cool to see that and see where it's come from. So the idea of building an airplane from a kit or from something else in your garage is one that's kind of speaks to my family, so I just thought it was kind of cool to pass along. All right, up next, Mercedes-Benz goes back to the Model T style thing. It's a very old school looking car with bicycle style wheels and everything, but it's designed to work off of a fuel cell. It has a 217-mile range. This is, of course, from over at yankodesign.com. It's an interesting little two-seater. Does harken back to kind of like a cross between an F1 and a Model T. If you can imagine what kind of strange child that would produce, and then put like an engine from like Back to the Future, the second one where they actually go into the future, then you can kind of see. There's no Mr. Fusion. You're not putting banana peels into the tank or something like that, but it's kind of awesome to just check out nonetheless. All right, moving over, we have a really, really kind of crazy conceptual headphone set. Now, originally I was going to talk about these and kind of try and fit them into a steampunk aesthetic, but there is no way to do that. These are quite honestly, by far, the weirdest headphones I've ever seen. They're logged in over at device.com, which is the sci-fi tech blog wing of the Sci-Fi Network, and they're, for all intents and purposes, little angel wings that head off your ears. I don't know if you feel like looking like Athena today, but you can do so now if you have the strange little headphones. They also have one that ends up, they're kind of larger studio style headphones that actually have a tiny little graveyard across the top of them. I don't really understand why you would do this, but, you know, hey, there's a whole bunch of information over at the article, so you can actually check it out. Alright, up next we have an interesting little steampunk design that I actually think does a pretty good job dealing with the steampunk aesthetic. It's a tiny little brass ring system that actually is a USB jump drive. Now, yes, there's gears and cogs and all other kinds of things. What I would really like to see is somehow I want one of these steampunk things to actually let off steam. That's my wish. I think this is great. I think it's fantastic that somebody managed to paint all these things and glue all the fun little gears on and everything without actually ruining the usefulness of the USB drive and all that. This one's from over at geeky-gadgets.com. I have to put the hyphen in there. I dislike the hyphen. I've struggled with the hyphen for sites all over the world, but you know, hey, when it's there, you gotta talk about it. But, you know, it's geeky-gadgets.com. This one has the steampunk USB jump drive. drive. Of course, it's a 2.0 because 3.0 just ain't out yet. And, you know, I actually think it would be kind of fun. You can buy this one apparently for $50, but you know what? I'm going to stick to my plain old ones. Now, going from steampunk to actually steam-driven but yet seriously unpunk, there was an attempt made, or there was going to be a possible attempt made at the world land speed record at 763.035 miles an hour. That's Mach 1.0175. It's slightly, ever so slightly, faster than the speed of sound. This is pretty, kind of a brick wall. Nobody's really been able to beat it for a little while. And it was actually set by, it's really going to be kind of interesting to see if they ever actually do try this. But there was an attempt, there was going to be an attempt made to beat this record with a steam-driven car. So, I my hat's off to anybody who does this in any way possible. I think it's going to be funny once you start seeing like the fuel cell cars or something like that enter into it. I really do end up thinking, well, I don't end up thinking, it just kind of happens wherever I am, but I do think that we're going to see an electric car beat the land world speed record eventually, before we're going to see, you know, another raft of inventions by, you know, gas and steam and all the other ones that are out there, because I think the last car to actually win was actually a jet car. So to go from jet back down to steam, I don't really know if it would work, but I just wanted to kind of take my hats off to anybody who even gives it a shot. However, there was an article in Wired a while ago that said, while the land speed record has continued to climb, the surface water speed record is one of the hardest things in the world to break, and that's mainly because the fluid dynamics are so hard to predict that it is incredibly deadly to even make an attempt. So I just wanted to put that out there, so in case you were thinking about driving a boat instead of a car. Alright, moving right along, this is the ultimate way to potty train your children. If by potty train your children, you want them to never, ever go near the toilet again. I actually think it would be really funny to do to cats and stuff like that, but for your very own, you can have your very own, what looks like a cross between a skunk or a panda and a monkey, maybe even a lemur, but for less than $9, you can have a tiny little friend that sits in the toilet, a little suction cup on the lid, so that when you pop up the lid to the toilet, he actually pops up. So I'm seriously thinking about getting this for the next party that we have, just because I think it would be awesome. However, then you might end up, you know, having a little bit of a lost soldier if somebody doesn't see him before they end up giving it a go, if you know what I mean. Alright, moving right along here, let's see what we got. Androids might dream of electric sheep, like Philip K. Dick said. However, what would they look like? Do they look like this? There's an interesting little article over at Tim Feldman's blog, The Daily Cup of Tech, and Been There Done Tech. Gotta love the title he has over at his blog. But there's an interesting little video that they have, and I'm not gonna play it because there's no point in playing video on an audio podcast if it doesn't have a slam jamming soundtrack. However, this one might. I just don't want to mess things up. There's kind of a weird art installation that's half computer-generated and half sheep-generated. What they did was they actually coated sheep with nets of LEDs and then tried to put them into different collectives in actual pens. They tried to herd them in specific formations, and they made kind of an interesting little performance art piece. So I definitely wanted to include this one in the show because I really want you to check this out. This is just crazy beyond any stretch of the imagination. Even, like, if you've seen any kind of computer animation, you can tell the point at which it stops being real and starts being slightly fake. Probably when the giant sheep, and you'll know what I mean as soon as you watch the video, starts walking across the field. But hey, you know, anybody who's willing to go to that much effort to actually do something, I gotta take my hat off to him. Next thing we have up here is, does Pac-Man dream of pellets when he goes to sleep? But now at least you can. There's an interesting little article that's, again, over at geeky-gadgets.com, where they're showcasing Pac-Man pillows. And it's basically a little craft work where you can make your own little fat felt Pac-Man, but you can actually buy them and get your own $60 set. There's all four ghosts and two little shams, and then one larger pillow, not actually a sham wow, it's just a larger pillow, with Pac-Man eating a pellet. There's no power pellets there, like, you know, the larger ones that kind of do the deal, but there are three tiny little pellets. I forget if they were called power pellets as well, but, you know, I just wanted to kind of pass it along because I thought it was interesting. And then the next little thing that we have up here for you, again, is over at SpriteStitch.com, where they're actually putting out a pattern so that you can see Pac-Man and Boo graffiti coasters. So, using a little bit of spray paint and some interesting stencils, you too can make your very own 8-bit art coasters. So just passing it along here. You can buy them, of course, over at Etsy because they're that awesome. But Boo from the Mario Mario series and the ghosts from Pac-Man. So they've found life beyond their yellow friend. And then again, sticking with the ghost theme, if you happen to have a metric ton of extra floppies laying around, I'm talking like the old school 3.5, 1.44 megabits on each one, at least if they're high density, laying around, specifically if you happen to have 256 of the little jobbies hanging around, you can create your very own 16 by 16 layout of Pinky. That's what they have over at Technobob. I love it. I don't know how cool it is, but they use different colored floppies, or they painted floppies so that it actually worked out as pixels. It really kind of makes me abuse the office supply cabinet and just go for post-it notes on my wall, but I don't think that we're going to do that. You know, the economic downturn and all that, I think it would probably be looked on slightly badly. All right, moving right along, we have our first little Lego story of today. Mammoth Lego sculpture. Not really, it's kind of tiny, but when you really look at it, it looks like a mammoth. Sir Najori actually has a really kind of a gifted talent for recreating scenes out of Lego. And as my friend Jimmy, yes, the same Jimmy who's getting married, says, the best part about Legos is actually sitting down with no instructions in front of you and a giant box of them. And then seeing what you can come up with. Seeing, you know, alright, you know what, this kind of looks like that shape. What can I do to make it look more like it? Well, Sir Najori has actually come up with a really good and rather eloquently done mammoth and caveman. I don't know what kind of point the caveman's actually trying to use to kill the mammoth, but it better be a Clovis, that's all I'm gonna say. And that's just from one archaeology geek to another. Alright, up next we have another little Lego story yet again. We've seen 3D scanners that actually build things out of Legos, but this kind of takes that and turns it on its head a little bit. This is using the Lego Mindstorm kit to actually drive a 3D scanning mechanism to actually do the scanning all on its own. So imagine if you combined this gadget with the other one that actually built things out of out of Legos. You can have Legos building Legos. This is the first step towards Skynet, and you all thought Skynet was going to come from all kinds of crazy advanced technology. No, it's going to come from tiny little Swedish blocks. All right, moving right along here. That about wraps it up. Oh, wait. I'm sorry, we have one last little thing here. Legal tender in geekdom. These things are actually called Starbucks. I had to pass them along, even though they ended up in the back channel stream, just because they're that awesome. Somebody's actually gone to a lot of trouble to try and make Star Wars money. So, like, what would be the legal tender if they were still using paper money in Star Wars? How would you have Vader on the bill? This is the first Galactic Empire $1 bill, has the Lord Sith Darth Vader on it. There's a little bit of a Death Star and a giant battle Star Cruiser up there with a bunch of little TIE fighters and a whole bunch of other fun things. And then there's an interesting little Vader etching. It's really, really well done. And it's funny because they said, you know, if everything was right with the world, these would be legal tender. And the first comment is absolutely brilliant. The first comment says that all that is required for it to be legal tender is enough people to accept it as payment for a debt. I'm just saying. So I think we should start it here. In geekdom, all debts can be paid with Darth Vader money. So you're going to need a lot of them because there's no denominations. I'm pretty sure the Emperor, but it would be at least a 5. But I don't know if they're talking about the entire Galactic Empire, in which case I think Vader would be a little bit of a higher denomination. You could have your Stormtrooper buck. But, you know, hey, you know, our first president ended up being, you know, he's kind of an important person in history, and he only ended up being on a $1 bill as well. But, hey, you know what? that about wraps it up for the Geek Cruft section here at the Caffeination Podcast. We are ripping through this episode nice and quick. I'm quite happy with it. Maybe I should start every episode off with the quick hits. It really kind of gets me in a nice little flow. So, all right, we're going to dive right on into the consumable and caffeinated bits. Just in case you are listening at some form of streaming media available online, or in case you happen to walk into the room and your friend is listening to a wonderful podcast with a very quick-speaking, highly caffeinated man, then this would be the Caffeination Podcast. We are located lovingly nestled with all of our other episodic friends over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, being that we're the Caffeination Podcast. We figured it was a good place to keep our stuff. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail, God forbid, you you can send it in on over to caffeination@gmail.com. And that about wraps it up for that. You can find all of the other contact information, commenting, and all that other fun stuff over at caffeination.com. So I'd highly suggest you spend a little time. We're doing some writing. This week's been kind of slow because it's just been really kind of dragging. One other thing I wanted to kind of point out, over at the Caffeination homepage, up at the very top, we have a Friends of Caffeination button. So if you have a user ID on OpenID, Google, AIM, or Yahoo, you can actually click the sign in button there and comment on any of the podcasts without signing into my blog. You don't have to sign in. Everything just uses your OpenID. So it's really cool, really good, and it allows, like, eventually we'll be able to build a community for the Caffeination podcast so that you can see information and share links and all that other stuff. But for right now, the commenting feature is worth its weight in gold. I'm so happy when other sites kind of push it out there. All right, spend too much time babbling in between sections. We're going to dive right on into consumable and caffeinated bits here. Interesting review of the Starbucks Ready Brew. While I never actually got the opportunity to have one sent to me, and I really don't feel like going out and buying it, Starbucks via Ready Brew Instant Coffee is being reviewed over at needcoffee.com. What I did not know was that the via, or via, which I assume is the proper pronunciation, actually means road in Italian. So I was kind of impressed by that. But then again, with their other strange languages associated with their coffee, you know, nothing's ever English, nothing's ever simple. So of course it has to be better than that. They're charging $9 to $10. They're charging $10 for 12 cups of coffee, basically. So that's an exceedingly large price margin there that you're trying to deal with. But what they're going for is the people who like good coffee but still want coffee on the go. And according to the fine folks over at needcoffee.com, this thing provides just that. There's no extra strange aftertaste. It gives you a nice little quick buzz and all that other stuff, and it gives you a very faint aroma, which is really not what I was looking for. I like the aroma in coffee. So while I don't like the coffee breath that happens after the fact, I kind of look for that. And then when you start factoring in the price point of $9.95 for 12 servings, just a little bit too rich for my blood. It's actually more expensive to buy that than to actually have their regular coffee. So to buy a bag of their regular coffee. So, you know, six of one, half a dozen of another. All right, up next, for all of you people out there who enjoy beer, and seriously, who doesn't, other than my wife, she really kind of doesn't, which is kind of weird, but hey. All right, soap made from beer is the next thing we have up for you here. This one's from over at GearFuse.com. Somehow, they found a way to actually make soap that smells slightly like beer, but it doesn't make you smell like beer. So it actually finds a way to get you clean and all other kinds of things, which is pretty cool, but it actually is made from a different wide range of beers. So you can get it in different lagers like Foster's, Guinness, and Samuel Adams. So I just thought it was pretty weird and really kind of wanted to put it out there so you could see it too. They are actually selling them over at Etsy for 5 bars for $20. So it's really not that expensive, especially when you compare it to some of the other things that we talk about here on the podcast. All right, and then the next little thing we have up here for you here is a really cool thing from over at Yanko Design. I really hope this one gets made. Why? Because it is a pain in the absolute utter rear end to take my son's temperature. And that's even with the fun little thing that you jam in the kid's ear in order to take his temperature. I've even seen people using like the laser thermometers to try and hit the temple to see if that works. And I don't really know how accurate that is compared to the regular old mouth thermometer. What this is it takes the thermometer and couples it with a lollipop. A very quick dissolving lollipop so that by the time the lollipop is done, you have an accurate temperature reading on the stick that's left. That is a great idea. That's a smack yourself in the forehead. Why didn't you think of that before now? So there's also talk about being able to deliver medicine in the lollipop, and then there's also the other talk about possibly doing saliva studies. I mean, that's really crazy above and beyond, but then again, Yanko's all about the crazy cool above and beyond. Up next, something incredibly simple and very time-saving is an interesting little herb chopper that's available over at 7gadgets.com. It looks like a CD case. When you pull the handle out of the one side, there's two rounded blades. For the people who haven't really figured out how to do that interesting little chopping motion that you see over at the Food Network, I gotta tell you, there's one episode from Mountain Brown where he actually shows you the trick involved, and it's actually sliding the knife. It's not chopping up and down. And once you see him do it, if I ever find the link to the episode, I will send you. But once you see him do it, you can begin to do it on your own, and it's actually much quicker and much safer to do this. I'm getting to the point now where I'm almost quick enough to be impressive, but not yet quick enough to where I don't fear for my own fingers if I start to go quicker than I am. So if for those of you who out there who are not nearly coordinated enough, and believe me, I'm probably in that category, they have the tiny little rounded chopper dudes over there, so it's kind of interesting to check out. All right, and then the next little thing that we have up for you here is a copycat recipe. Originally, there were books out of all these different copycat recipes, and Starbucks keeps putting them out there and taking them down. So get this one while you can. If you like their caramel or caramel macchiato from Starbucks, then you too can have your very own version of it. If you go over to coffeesage.com, they have an article out there which actually lists a way to make your very own caramel macchiato. So my hat's off to them. That's a really crazy cool thing that they're doing there. Then the last little thing we have for you here in the entirety of the Caffeination podcast, we're actually finishing on time and slightly under budget compared to the last couple shows, is the Coffee Stool. It's Q-O-F-F-E-E. This is an interesting little design concept, which is basically a larger version of the standard red cups that people use for beer pong and things like that. I don't understand why they're coffee, but it's fun. But what they're doing is they're actually using the shape of that, and they're extrapolating out to be roughly 3 feet tall, and they're actually using it as different pieces of furniture. So it was originally designed as a stool. It could be a bin. You could put a couple of them together and put something on top of them and be a table. So while I don't understand the association with coffee, because they really don't look like coffee cups, in one of the pictures they actually have a giant coffee cup as their coffee table, which I think would be awesome, and I know my wife would hate me for. But alright, that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination podcast. Thank you so much for listening in. It has been my pleasure to try and cram as much content into your ear in under 40 minutes as possible. So this has been Caffeination number 321, the crammed edition. We have stuck that 5-pound cat directly into that 3-pound box and shoved it directly into your ear. Hopefully you enjoyed all the stuff. If you are looking for this episode or any of its other episodic friends with better content and funnier jokes, but not nearly as quick, I'll guarantee you that one. It's all heading on over to www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. This has been the Caffeination Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.